Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, where we help you help yourself with your health. Our topic today is liver health for better health. And joining us is Dr. Hilary Chambers. Hilary is a graduate of the University of Western Ontario with an Honors Bachelor of Science degree in physiology and was awarded the Gold Medallion for highest academic achievement in her program. She later graduated from the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine and is a practicing naturopathic doctor in Toronto and is the project educator for Healthology International. Good morning, Dr. Hilary, and welcome back to Insights for Health.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks so much for having me again.
So the liver is quite an amazing part of the body. If we ever were talking about multitasking, the liver would have written the book.
That's a really good way of putting it. It's true. I think a lot of us think about the liver detox because it's kind of a buzzword, but it does like hundreds and hundreds of other functions in the body, which is important to kind of take note of.
And we can't live without it, can we?
No, absolutely not. We can't. It's a pretty powerful organ. Yeah, if we don't have it, then we're not going to be able to detoxify, but we're not going to make our hormones. We're not going to be able to convert some of our sugars into energy. We're going to be having a toxic overburden in the body. It's going to be a pretty big disaster pretty quickly.
Yeah, so blood cleansing, it's responsible for that.
Yeah, so basically our blood flow goes through the liver, and as it goes through, it's going to go through a bit of a filtration process is a good way of thinking about it. It actually filters, depends on which stat you look at, everybody's got a slightly different one, but about a liter and a half of blood per minute, which is pretty incredible. So it's actually going to take all the blood that's going through our body, and it's going to make sure that it's removing toxins, it's going to be removing things we're finished with. So if we sort of spent a protein or spent a hormone, it's going to pull that out of there and detoxify it and get it out of the body. And it's going to make sure that our blood is actually clean and ready to go so that it can do its job of bringing oxygen and nutrients to the other cells in our body.
And the ability to regrow, that's pretty amazing.
It's kind of cool, isn't it? I think we've all heard about the incredible thing that we can do with liver transplants these days, right? You can actually transplant part of a liver into someone else, and then you yourself will regrow part of your liver, and that person will be able to live with part of that liver. And that just really goes to show how regenerative some of the properties of those liver cells truly are. And that's happening on like a microscopic or smaller level in our livers all the time, even without a liver transplant. Of course, that's an extreme. But in my liver right now, my liver cells are constantly repairing damage because you can imagine it's going through a lot with having to constantly be detoxing and filtering all that blood. It's going to get damaged. So it's able to regenerate and repair itself as it moves along sort of its lifespan. And that's happening in your body and my body right now as we speak.
And then too, taking raw material, I mean, we eat our food, we digest, we absorb the nutrients from our digestive system into our bloodstream. And then the liver takes and converts that into living cells and in energy and so on, and rebuilds the body everywhere.
It does. It really especially helps with energy storage. So when we're fasting, like overnight, for example, your liver is actually going to take over the production of fuel for your body, which is really interesting to think that your liver does this for us as well. So if you're sleeping overnight, you're fasting, right? We're not eating. Slowly, those blood sugar levels in your body are going to get used up, and then there's going to be none left. So your liver is going to get kicked into something called gluconeogenesis, which is a fancy way of saying takes the stores that it has and converts it into something you can use and spits it out into the bloodstream so that you can continue to feed your brain and breathe and have your heart pump even while we're not eating for prolonged periods, like when we're sleeping or if you're fasting.
So we could spend probably several shows just talking about the different functions of the liver.
Yeah.
So as important as what it is, what are some of the symptoms of a sluggish or underproductive liver?
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because the liver has so many functions, the symptoms of having a burdened, overburdened liver, a sluggish burdened liver are really broad. So the first thing we think about is toxin overload. So if your liver is unable to keep up with that burden of detoxification. Maybe this is because you're on certain medications or you drink alcohol. Maybe it's because, oh my goodness, there's so many other reasons. Maybe you're eating foods with dyes and preservatives. Maybe you are putting things on your skin that absorb into your bloodstream that your body has to detox, whatever it is. If we get too much of it going on and our liver can't keep up, what we end up seeing is a fogginess. So you might feel really tired. You might have headaches. You might have difficulties with focusing or memory or concentration. You just feel that fog, and that can be a symptom of toxin overload. We also can get issues because of how the liver functions with our blood sugars. We can get issues with blood sugar management. So sometimes we see this to the extreme where we're getting weight gain. We're seeing issues with cholesterol. We can see issues with blood sugar spikes and crashes. Or difficulty losing weight. So these are biggies. And then because your liver produces bile, and we need that bile to digest foods, right? It's going to, we're going to talk about that, I think, in a few minutes here. But bile is really important for breaking down fats from our foods, and the liver does that too. If you're not producing enough bile, you're not going to break down fats in your stomach. And then what happens is those fats are going to go unabsorbed, so, and they're going to move through your colon, and you're going to see issues with sometimes bloating or indigestion, sometimes diarrhea, or even sometimes you'll see fatty bits in the stool, and that can be a huge sign that your digestion from your liver isn't functioning well. And then lastly, hormonal things. I think that's a biggie. If you're having hormonal concerns, so cystic acne or bloating around a period, perimenopausal symptoms like hot flashes or night sweats or migraines, these can all be also related to a sluggish liver because our liver detoxes our hormones. And if that's not happening properly, then we start to get a buildup of hormones and we get those symptoms that I just listed. So as you can see, like, it's a ton of different things that can happen in the body, but we want to be mindful and watch out for symptoms like these.
I guess if a person's having a lot of those lingering conditions, for example, like they've tried, and I don't even want to identify a condition at this point, but just sometimes people just say, you know, I just don't feel good all the time. Like, I've tried this and that, it works for a while. I've tried many things. I don't ever seem to really get ahead. It always seems to come back. So would the liver be one of those places that you as a naturopath would take a look at in a situation like that?
Absolutely. Because the liver is such a cornerstone of our health, it's somewhere that you should always be looking. So oftentimes we think about it like peeling back layers, Dave. Right? So we might think about, okay, you know, we might support the liver detoxification for the short term to peel back a layer. And then maybe we support hormones after that, or maybe we support blood sugar after that. But if we don't deal with that liver layer, then we may actually, as you said, not see the progression of our symptoms going away or actually feeling better and it lasting overall. And another thing I think we should mention is that if you're not sure, or, you know, if your liver is really, really sluggish and having a hard time, that will also be reflected in blood work. So we'll start to see elevated liver enzymes. And these are things that your naturopathic doctor or your family doctor can run a liver panel and should be running a liver panel once a year for most people. And then we can definitely see if the liver is really damaged and really needs a little extra support.
So what causes the liver then to underperform? I know you've kind of touched on it and kind of moved around some of that, but can we get specific as to what would cause the liver to underperform?
So I think about it like that overburden as the first issue. So think about it like your inbox, right? And so if you've got things piling up in your inbox every day, maybe you put 5 new sheets of paper in there of things you have to do. And your liver can only deal with 4 of those a day. So every day we put 5 new, your liver deals with 4. And so over time, we're going to get a bit of a pileup and a backlog of things that your liver just is just too stressed out. It just cannot get to the bottom of that pile. So putting things onto that pile can include lifestyle things. So maybe that is exposure to, as I said, alcohol or certain medications. Tylenol is a big one that really impacts our liver. It can also be eating foods that have additives and dyes and preservatives in them. Your body has to detox those. It could be chemical exposure. Maybe it's occupational. You might work maybe with paints or with solvents or with chemicals or things like that that you might be exposed to. or maybe from even something that you do, something that you enjoy where you're exposed to those things, that's not for work. There's lots of different things that we could be putting onto or into our bodies. Basically, if it's something that your body has to process and package and get rid of, your liver is doing the work. So, the second big thing that's a risk factor is obesity. So if you're overweight, we start to store our extra fat in the liver. And this can be a big problem. So it's normal to have some fat in the liver, but if we get sort of more than like 5 or 10% of the liver being made of fat, then it's going to cause something called fatty liver disease. And this is a huge concern because this is actually going to cause liver swelling and damage. And this is going to cause the liver not to be able to do its other tasks properly simply because there's extra fat stored in the liver.
So we hear of a fatty liver related to alcohol, but there's such a thing as a non-alcoholic fatty liver, isn't there?
That's right. So it's called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, but I think most of the time we just think of that as fatty liver disease. But it's important to distinguish because non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and liver damage caused by alcohol are going to be two different types of liver damage, but we can get it in both circumstances. So non-alcoholic fatty liver disease affects about 4% of Canadians. So about 1.5 million Canadians. You don't, even in people who don't drink any alcohol or very little alcohol or normal levels, can still get liver damage. And this is typically because of that buildup of extra fat. So this goes back to the chronic issue of obesity and being overweight in sort of our this day and age. So we have to be very careful to maintain a healthy weight in order to maintain a healthy liver.
With every heartbeat, the liver is working.
Yes, it's working really hard with every single heartbeat. And if we didn't have the liver, we wouldn't be able to, you know, have that heart keep beating because the blood, it would be that's our life force that's moving through our body would be so gunked up with toxins and hormones and spent proteins and all these things. So we really do rely on the liver to live.
So we've heard of phase one and phase two detoxification. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So phase one and phase two liver detoxification basically tells us that the liver has two parts in order to get things detoxed. When it goes through phase one, I like to think about it at like two turnstiles. So phase one is the first turnstile that you have to get through. And these are a group of enzymes called our CYP enzymes, and there's a whole bunch of different ones. But basically what they do is they actually tag toxins to be put into phase two. So it's kind of like, it's like just putting a bright orange marker penny on them to kind of say, hey, look over here. This needs to be detoxified. And the reason that it's important to recognize the difference of phase one and phase two is that phase one actually makes things more toxic, which is kind of crazy. So phase one is going to tag them. It makes them more toxic temporarily. And then they get triaged into phase two. And then in phase two, it's actually properly detoxified. And phase two is sort of, it's got more of a variety because those ones are triaged into the right type of phase two detoxification. So it might have to go through glutathione detox or sulfur detox. And phase two is going to make them safe. It's going to detoxify them, make them water soluble, and it's going to then get them ready to actually get excreted from the body because we want them to be safe because they're now going to travel in our bile. And they're going to get excreted out of the bile into the digestive tract and then out through the colon is how we get rid of these toxins.
Yeah, and you mentioned bile a little earlier on, but that's another reason why bile is so important, not just for digesting fats, but also to carry these detoxified elements out of the body.
Yes, exactly. So that's the transport mechanism by which the body gets all of those detoxified toxins and hormones and all those things. It goes into the bile, gets squirted out into the digestive tract, and then moves with that through the colon and gets excreted.
So there again, that's a little side note, but the importance of fiber to to absorb that so we don't reabsorb some of those elements.
Yes, that's right. So soluble fiber especially is going to bind that bile and going to make sure that it gets safely excreted from the body. So it's very important that we're A, having regular bowel movements and B, having enough fiber to kind of capture those toxins and make sure they get out.
Hillary, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, let's discuss a little bit further some of the things that we can do to support our liver and maintain good liver health.
Sounds great.